Sirene.
Radio Aquaba 104.6 FM.
just tuning into Radio Kwaba 104.6 FM. And the Commander-in-Chief, I've just taken my seat on Radio Kwaba 104.6 FM. And we are here 5:55 p.m. on Tuesday, so 7:15 p.m. Sing, we pray. And we're going to usher in all the way from now to 7:15. And my guests are going to be in the studio soon. Samuel Kundaya is going to be in the studio soon. And Emmanuel Badu and Akwesi Freddy also will join me in the studio. And we're going to give you a wonderful messages, a wonderful entertainment, a wonderful information, a wonderful talk by discussion. This afternoon, this evening, this morning, wherever you're listening from, in Ghana, in Nigeria, in the United States of America, in Australia, in Qatar, you know, and the last few couple of weeks now, we've been having a lot of people which are tuning in around the world. People tuning in from Qatar, people tuning in from Switzerland, people tuning in and watching us live on Facebook from Sweden, from Kuwait, from United States of America, Maryland, in Australia, in Ghana, in Nigeria, in China, and all over the place people are tuning in. And last week we had about 740 people join our conversation live on Facebook. And Radio Kwaba 104.6 is going live, going around the globe now. And we are just encouraging you. Thank you all the regular listeners on 104.6 or also on www.planetaudio.org.nz, and also for those who've been watching us live on Facebook. You're listening to Joe Metal.
Wherever you're just, lift your voice. We're going to bless the Lord with us. Come on and lift your voice. We're going to honor the Lord with us. Lift your voice and love the Lord, somebody. Lift your voice and bless the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the earth and they that dwell in. Somebody lift your voice and bless the King of Glory. Lift your voice and honor the mighty King. We bless you, Jehovah. We praise thy name, O Lord. We praise your name, O Lord. We praise. We praise. Thy name, O Lord. Father, you're worthy of our praise. Father, you're worthy of our worship. Thy name, O Lord, we praise. Yes, it will soon, I will crown. Now, yes, it will soon. Your voice say, Hina Puna, on the woof, yes, Hina Puna, on the woof, Tisabu, Jesu Christo, Entimia, Siamenina, Wakase, Wukuto, Nawu, somebody just lift your voice with us. Entimia, Siamenina, Amenina. Now, Somebody bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Oh, yeah.
I got a wonderful lady here in the studio here with me, and I believe that God is going to touch you at a point of your need. And I just want to give just a quick minute, just to invite a friend, to invite a friend's friend. That's another Tuesday again. And today's message, you will never miss this. And we're going live on Facebook. And so Samuel, I know Samuel, you are watching, you are listening to us, and you're on Facebook. But as soon as the video goes live, please feel free to share the video, and Mrs. Madam going to go on the studio on live version. So, madam, welcome to Radio Caravan 446. Okay, yeah. So, the audience are all yours, and feel free to flow at the spirit, because I believe God is going to touch people right at the point of their need.
Good evening and happy new year. This is the first time I'll be coming to the studio this year, and I appreciate, you know, the opportunity that we have to actually come, you know, and encourage children of God out there. And like I said, welcome once more, and I believe that today your life and my life will not remain the same after this message, in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm Dr. Adesayo Adelowo. I'm the wife to Pastor David of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Victory House, New Zealand. We're based at 6 Onan Place, Avondale, Rosebank Road. We have our services on Sunday, on Wednesday and Thursday. Friday we have a 1 hour night prayer, which starts from 11:30 to 12:30. We want to encourage you to please join us in one of our services. And today I brought another word, you know, to encourage our women out there, and I've titled today's encouragement "Broken and Bitter." And I could also say, you know, that it's losses and trauma. And today we're going to be looking at Naomi. I know some of us are familiar, you know, with the story of Naomi and Ruth, you know, in the book of Ruth. I could actually tell you that Naomi was actually the main character of that chapter, you know, in the Bible. And we're going to take our text from Ruth 1, 20 to 21. Ruth said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi, when the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So if we look at what Naomi was saying, they actually came back, you know, from Moab to Bethlehem. And if we recollect very well, Bethlehem is supposed to be the house of bread. At a particular time, there was famine in that nation. And because they didn't have any king, the judges they had did not have any influence, people were just doing, you know, behavior behaving as they like. So, you know, this family actually decided to go to Moab, you know, to find food. But unfortunately, when they got there, the husband died. The two sons that this woman had also died. Fortunately, they were married, you know, before they passed on. But unfortunately, even the children did not have, you know, did not give birth, you know, to any child. So if I want to look at Naomi and you want to look at the cultural context that she actually grew from, if you do not have a man in your life, like you do not have a father, you do not have a husband, and you do not have a son, it means you are a worthless, you know, woman. Because there won't be any security from you. It's not like these days, especially like we have in New Zealand, where you have social security, where you have food bank. There wasn't anything like that to help Ruth. And I can guarantee you that there wasn't even any Kiwi Saver, you know, for her retirement. So she was very right when she said, I went out full, but I came back empty. And, you know, that leads me, you know, to, discussion on brokenness and bitterness. As children of God, we go through challenges, we go through difficulties. As women, we go through difficulties. Sometimes, you know, we experience the death of loved ones. Sometimes, you know, we go through one sickness or one disease. We've prayed about it, and it seems that God is not answering our prayers. And so most of the time, we become bitter. And we become hopeless. And that was the situation that Naomi found himself. But one thing that I want us to realize is, though Naomi felt helpless, she felt alone, she felt empty. She even stated here that God is against me. God has testified against me. That is why I am empty. That is why I am bitter. That is why I've experienced a lot of losses. That is why I have trauma. But if we look a little bit into Ruth 1:16-17, Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. So when Naomi was proclaiming that I am empty, that was what she was saying. She did not use her spiritual eyes, because there was somebody beside her. She was not empty. She actually came back full, but she did not see. And Ruth was encouraging her that you are not alone. You are not empty. I am here with you. Your people are here, because she said it here. Your people. And she said, your God. So it means she had Ruth. And possibly why she did not see Ruth as a source of comfort was she was a stranger. She was a widow. She was not, you know, she didn't have any child at all. She was barren. So that was another emptiness. But I guess at a particular stage, Naomi and her husband must have brought up their children in the way of the Lord. Possibly that is how Ruth got to know about their God. And Ruth had confidence, you know, in this God. And so Ruth encouraged her, you are not alone. You are not empty. I am here with you. I am here to encourage you. I'm here to support you. Please don't beg me to leave you. Wherever you go, that is where I will go with you. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And I just want to take this back to us. I do not really know, you know, the situation that you find yourself now that has actually led to you becoming bitter. Some of us, we have given up hope on God. And so many of us, even unbelievers, they ask these questions. So why do we have death? So why do we have war? So why do we have earthquakes? Why is God not stopping it? So why do we have famine? Why do we have children, you know, being killed? I'm not here to explain all those things to you, because I don't have an answer. But I want to assure you that God is still alive, and God cares about you. And regardless of what you are going through, God says he has planned for you. In Jeremiah 29:11, God says he's thinking about you. Though your plan has failed. Possibly Naomi must have planned that, we're going to migrate, and you know, with my husband and my children, you know, we get married and I'm going to have grandchildren and great grandchildren, and possibly one day I will come back, you know, to Israel. But her plans failed. She actually lost everything. So I do not know the plans that you have put in place that has failed. Either your health is failing, your marriage is failing, your children are not living up to expectation. Like Naomi, she was a migrant that went to another city to look for bread. Maybe you've come to New Zealand or another place and it was supposed to be a promising place, but unfortunately you're actually meeting with frustration, you are meeting with failure, and God actually asks you, you know, to come to this country, but it's not really looking like God ask you to come into this country. Possibly God directed you to study, you know, a particular profession and you had high hopes, but it seems things are not working as expected. I want to assure you that God is still alive. So when we look at the purpose of bitterness, the purpose of bitterness is to lead you to death. The purpose of bitterness is to destroy your faith. The purpose of bitterness is to ruin your relationship and is to kill your spirit. No wonder in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, God is encouraging us not to allow the root of bitterness. Like I said, when you are bitter, you become hopeless. You know, it's like nothing is going to work. You can't even see the future. God is saying that I have a future for you. I'm going to bring you to an expected end. I have plans for you. But the bitterness is not allowing you to see the promises of God. And Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled." So as a child of God, if you are out there, you know, you are broken, you have bitterness in your heart, some don't even want to call on the name of God anymore, they feel disappointed that God had failed them, this passage of Bible is here to encourage you that you should not allow, you know, the root of bitterness to spring up, because it's going to cause trouble. If you shut down on the promises of God, well, I know that God is able to help you. God is able to lift you up. But the Bible says that you will actually become defiled. And if you are defiled, then you are none of God. But like I said, even when Naomi could not see the future, when she could not see the help that God has sent to her, you know, for her to be restored, for our fortunes to be restored. Like Psalm 126 says that when the Lord turned again our captivity, well, like they, you know, that dream dreams. And I can tell you that God is able to turn your captivity. It has happened to me several times. I'm a living testimony. And I'm encouraging you. I don't know what you have given up on, maybe your marriage, your children, your health. I can assure you that the way God turned the tide for Naomi is still alive, is still in the business of, you know, fulfilling his promises. He would, you know, bring all his promises that he has given unto you to pass in the mighty name of Jesus. So God says, do not be bitter. Tell somebody, either sitting beside you, do not be bitter. God has not finished with you. And God did not finish, you know, with Naomi. Because the Bible made us to understand that they were going back, that she heard, before she started that journey, that she heard that God had have mercy on Bethlehem now, and that they have bread. So she was not empty. She was going back to the house of bread. And when you find yourself in the house of bread, you will not lack anything, because the Bible says that you will eat bread without scarceness. And not only that, the Bible made us to understand that she was actually returning, you know, when it is time to harvest barley. And I think when we talk about harvest, it's a time of joy. I come from the part of the world where, we have farmers, they farm a lot of things. And when it is the time of harvest, everybody knows that there will be money, in the system. There is going to be abundance in the system. It's a period of joy. No wonder the people who received Naomi were very joyful. Though she was poverty-stricken, possibly she looked haggard, she could not find anything good in herself. But those people, they said, you're here. This is pleasantness, because Naomi means pleasantness. But Naomi said, I'm no longer pleasantness. There's nothing pleasant about me. There's nothing pleasant about my future. God, is against me. God has testified against me. But like we said, she went back to the house of bread. She went back when it was time to actually harvest. And when I did my research, it was also a time that signifies, Passover. It was also the time that you expected to bring your first fruit into the temple of God. It was also a time that, servants or slaves are allowed to glean. And even in the Bible, you are not even expected to glean everything. You are expected to drop, some grains. No wonder Boaz told, his servants that please, on purpose, make sure that you drop some grains for Ruth. And because of the kindness that they received, possibly Naomi thought, she was hopeless. She thought they were going to die of anger. She did not know that, she didn't remember that her Redeemer was still alive. And so if we search, the Bible further a little bit, God actually caused her to laugh. God asked, a relative that came to redeem her from slavery, from poverty, from hopelessness. And eventually she planned the marriage between Ruth and, a king's man, Boaz, that was a wealthy man. Boaz was not only a wealthy man, he was kind, he was compassionate, he was respectful of Ruth, he did not abuse Ruth, he provided, for Ruth. And at the end, they actually had a son. The Bible made us to understand that when Boaz got married to Ruth, he knew Ruth, and she conceived, and God gave her conception. And she had a son. This was somebody possibly married to her first husband, and she was barren for 10 years. And when that happened, the old cities actually came to rejoice with Naomi. And this is what they told him, Ruth 4:14. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel." And the Bible made us to understand that even the son that Ruth had became the sustainer and the nourisher of life to Naomi. Naomi, who was hopeless, now had a baby. The Bible says that she carried the baby and she nursed the baby. That, I call that a new beginning. She told, daughter's, in-law that, "I don't have any hope. If you follow me, I know it's a tradition. If I'm able to give birth, to his son, possibly you could still get married to them. But look at me, there's no possibility of that happening." So there wasn't any hope of having any child, or rather, grandchildren. But from this history, we can see that our Redeemer lived. Boaz, happened to be the one who redeemed Ruth and married her and redeemed her, from slavery, from want, from shame, from barrenness, from hopelessness. And I can assure you, if you are out there and you are going through one difficulty or the other, the way the Redeemer came through for Naomi and for Ruth, the Redeemer will come through for you in the mighty name of Jesus. He will stand by his words concerning you, and it will come true to redeem you. Galatians 3:13 says, we have been redeemed from all causes of law. I don't know the situation that you find yourself in. You know, if it's hopelessness, if it is, bitterness, if it's unanswered prayers, if it is unanswered questions, I want you to continue to hope in God. Because it says, if you hope in him, you will not be put to shame. And I can assure you, the way the Redeemer came true for Naomi, he will come true for you. You will not be put to shame in the mighty name of Jesus. So, what lesson can we take, from this short exposition? God says, I will not leave you. And it says, I will not forsake you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I have plans for you. I'm going to bring, all things to work together for your good. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good. Oh, those that love God and who are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say all things work together for good for everyone. Just, to believers. If you believe in God, if you seek, hope in God, despite the hardship that you are going through now, despite the sorrow in your heart, despite the bitterness in your heart, I don't know who left you. I do not know who dropped you off. But the Bible says, I should assure you today, Romans 8:24 says, all things work together. If you keep loving God, if you keep hoping in him, all things will work together for your good. Because he's not going to leave you. And he's not going to forget you. Jesus, our Redeemer, is the perfect gift. He's the hope for today. We live in a very hopeless world, but Jesus is the hope for today. And is going to be your hope forever in the mighty name of Jesus. He is the one who has given us eternal life. He's given us abundant life. Because Naomi was given another chance. Naomi was given another life. The Redeemer actually purchased her, with his special blood. And another thing is, Jesus is the bread of life. Like they came into the house of bread. When you eat this bread, it's going to finish. It does not last. But when you eat Jesus, Jesus is the bread of life. He does not dry up. He does not finish. And we are expected to feed on him. Because it's only the word of God. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the word of God is feeding on this bread of life that will help our faith and will also increase our hope. And that is why we can have a reason to live. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Mrs. And it's been wonderful. I believe people's life has been touched. People's life has been transformed by what you just shared. And we believe that their lives will never be the same. And we believe that people that you've spoken to, people that you've encouraged, the feedback we've been getting every day, from the from Facebook, from live streaming, it's been fantastic. And we believe that you will continue to empower, you continue to strengthen, especially women who are going through the challenges. Because, when we come from back home, these problems are always existing, that we've got nobody to go to, depression, anxiety, loneliness is setting in all the time. But we believe that through this medium, God will give them a refuge, a place where they can come and seek refuge, a place that they can come and share their problems, and somebody to just provide a shoulder to cry on. And thank you very much, and God bless you, Mother Mrs. And we believe that next week you're coming back. Our Samuel is coming back to join us in the studio. God has been very good. Okay, so yeah, we're gonna go off now, and very soon we're gonna go back into the studio with my wonderful guests here in the studio here with me. God has been very good.
Hosanna. Everybody lift your voice, say hallelujah. Somebody wherever you are, just lift your head for this. Hallelujah. You can worship the Lord wherever you are. Hallelujah, Hosanna. Everybody lift your voice. Hallelujah, say hallelujah. Hosanna, say hallelujah, hallelujah. Everybody lift your voice unto the Lord. sing, we praise thy name. Oh Lord,
let your voice wherever you are.
Sing, we praise your name, oh Lord. Father, we praise thy name. Voice and sing with us, say we pray.
Come on, lift your voice with us. Come on,
thy name, oh Lord, lift your voice unto the Lord. We pray,
thy name, oh Lord,
we praise.
You're listening to Radio Akwa Ibom 104.6, and very soon we're going live actually on Facebook. You're listening to Joe Mitchell now.
Lift your voice, begin to bless the Lord with us. Come on and lift your voice, begin to honor the Lord with us.
We're just taking a bit of time to just a bit of our audience on Facebook, and very soon I'm going to come back into the studio to have a wonderful discussion with my guests here in the studio. Just keep tuning in and keep listening to Joe Mitchell, and also just invite a friend, share the video once you come on, and we know that today is going to be a wonderful time. To that is Selena Boateng. You're listening to Selena Boateng now. Just taking a bit of time to build up our audience on Facebook, and very soon I'm going to go into the studio here. We got some wonderful discussions with my wonderful guests here, and feel free to share the video, join the conversation, share your opinion, share your advice, what do you got, and you can put your question, your discussion on, and I'm going to give it to my wonderful guests in the studio here, and we will be able to discuss it together with you. This is Radio Kwaba 104.6, and some of you watching us from Ghana, from different parts of the world, might be wondering, where are we? This is New Zealand. This program is sponsored by the Ghana Association of New Zealand. The Ghana Association of New Zealand is sponsoring this wonderful program, and we've been coming to you live all the way from Auckland, and the time here is 6:36 on Tuesday evening. So probably we are the first country in the world to see, you know, to see Tuesday. You know, I think we are the first country to see the light of the day. And if you are watching us from Ghana, you are watching us from Kuwait, from Qatar, from Dubai, from China, from Australia, and from all over the world, from Nigeria, this is New Zealand. We are bringing Ghana to New Zealand. Please feel free to share the video, share the conversation. And we've got some wonderful topic for discussion here. And I've got my wonderful guest here. And I would like to introduce my guest again. I've got Kwasi Freddy here in the studio with me. Kwasi Freddy is a social commentator. He's got a lot of experience. He's been to places. He's traveled around for a very long time. He speaks from experience. And I got my guests in the studio are always, you know, fantastic. I got Emmanuel Badu. He's finishing his PhD, you know, and I'm very blessed, and I feel it's a privilege to see them joining me in the studio every day to discuss a very complex topic that I cannot understand myself. And those of you who've been sharing our videos, and those of you who have been doing a lot of things to help us, to share our video, to share our discussion, to bring your topic, you know, to bring your questions ahead, we say thank you very much for what you are doing. And before I go ahead, I've got just a quick announcement for you. Brother Frank Asubo, Frank Amwa, last week, in the previous week, you've been sharing about, maybe there are some of you who are in Nigeria, you are in Ghana, you are in other part of the world, but you want to move to New Zealand, you want to come to New Zealand to study, you want to have the opportunity to come to New Zealand to study, because we know we've been getting a lot of information from people online who want to get the opportunity to come to New Zealand to study, to continue your study, to further your education. It will be a master's degree or a postgraduate studies, PhD, whatever it is, that you feel like you want an opportunity to come to New Zealand to study. You've been getting a lot of emails through, and I think I'm going to help you to make this as simple as possible. So, Brother Frank, he's the president of the Ghana Association of New Zealand. He's got an organization. He works with a school that helps people who want to come to New Zealand to study. So if you feel like you want to come to New Zealand to study, he will make the process very simple, not complicated. He's not going to take your money, and you are going to apply everything from your side. But talk to him. He's an agent for the school. So please talk to Frank. For whatever reason, I wrote his number down, but I've lost the number. But if you want, I think Kwasi is going to get a number for me very soon. So Frank's number is there. So please, Frank Asuba, he works for the New Zealand African Welfare Trust. So you can also actually go online and search the New Zealand African Welfare Trust, and you'll be able to get to know more about Frank. You can call him, and he'll be able to help you. Those who are in Ghana, you feel like you want to come, you want to travel to New Zealand to study, broaden your knowledge, get to know more. And actually, you know, New Zealand is a very beautiful place. You know, it's a place where, you know, we are the least corrupt country, you know, in the world. So when you get two people who are living in New Zealand, or you've got two people, or you sat a person down in New Zealand and you are talking to them, there's a high probability that they are telling you the truth. There's a high probability that they are telling you the truth. So there's somebody also talking about in the University of Waikato. So maybe you want to go to University of Waikato, whatever it is, please. Just feel free. I think Kwasi is getting the number for me. So Frank's number is 021-207-4698. 021-207-4698. 021-207-4698. 4698. We've been getting a lot of feedback regarding this, and I think as time goes on, I'll repeat the numbers again. And if you are calling from Ghana, it's +6421207-4698. I'll repeat this announcement again later. And if you are in New Zealand, you feel like you need a jewelry to buy, you need a cream, you know, Alata Sevena, Toto cream, Daddy, Joy Daddy, you know, cream, and all those kind of things, you feel like, you know, you missing Ghana, please contact Rosemond also on Facebook, and she'll be able to give you more information about jewelries. I got her number, gone off my head, but I can give you more information a bit later. Okay, so before, Kwasi Ferry always keep talking about democracy, so when you come to the studio, you play a lot of gospel music, but Kwasi say there have to be a democracy in the music we play in the studio. So I'm going to give Kwasi, we're going to go to Nana Kwame, the song is Gaga. We're going to play that. So those of Ghanaians who are in overseas, you go to Ghana, you blow your money, you spend your money, and you come back to New Zealand, or you come back to USA, you come back to Australia, you come back to United Kingdom, and your money, you run out of money, you come back to do your own cleaning again. So this song all goes to you. So this song is from Nana Kwame. It says Gaga. So just enjoy the song from Nana Kwame. He says Gaga. Aborore, you are in Ghana at the moment, and so just listen to this song and just be careful how you spend your money.
This be the song which this year be hit for everybody. They hear me so.
Okay, yeah. Now you're back into the studio now. And so, no, you can be also following at 104.6 in New Zealand or www.planetaudio.org.nz. So you're watching us from New Zealand. So I'm coming right into the studio here with my wonderful guest here. So the first one, Kwasi Ferry has made a special request regarding this topic. The first topic we're going to discuss and Kwasi is going to take the first shot about the first topic. So somebody saying the volume is a bit low. So the volume is a little bit low. So I'm going to try and just put the volume up a little bit. So the volume, okay. I hope the volume is up now. So Kwasi, we know we've been talking about freedom. You talk about democracy. You're talking about a lot of things. And we've heard about what is happening in South Africa. The South African parliament, they've been having a lot of argument, discussion, fight, and violence in their parliament. And sometimes I sit back and we talk about Dr. Nkrumah. We've been fighting for freedom for Africa, the likes of Mandela, the likes of Desmond Tutu, and all those people. They've been doing a wonderful job. But is it the freedom we've been crying for? Is it the freedom they fought for? Is that what the democracy, the freedom that we've been talking about, is that all? What is it about? Or, you know, or the indiscipline that's going on in the parliament there?
When it comes to South Africa.
Okay, well, just a quick one. Greeting to you, Mary Amwa. You say you can hear us. Ofayal. Okay, so I think the volume is up now. So just if you join us, just feel free to tell us where you're joining us from. Kwasi, go ahead.
For South Africa, I don't really know much about what goes on in their country.
Yeah.
But I'm not very happy what happened, you know, what is happening. I don't really know exactly what happened. But to my view, I would just relate this to Ghana Parliament. Yeah. And to my point, I wish this boxing goes on in our parliament. You know, I would like to hear that maybe one of the MPs has been knocked down. All the ribs has been broken down. He's been rushed to maybe Okonfanocho or Kolebu. And the family will just go there and say, what happened? So, I was given a money to go and buy some fertilizer to go and give it to the farmers. And I have squandered that money. And my own members found out that's why I've been beaten up.
So, question like somebody,
you know, yeah, I wonder maybe the joy has been blocking,
yeah,
and they'll be taken to hospital.
And the family will ask you,
yeah, family will ask you, what happened? The medicine that I was supposed to give to the hospitals, I just went and sold them to the private pharmacies.
And you pocketed the money,
you put them the money,
and you've been beaten,
yeah, make it suffer. You know, I don't want to hear the parliamentary Ghanaian, you hear in Kumasi, some party supporters are fighting. For what in Kumasi, but the parliament is in Accra,
yeah.
Just like how the parliament is in somewhere in Johannesburg,
yeah.
And they are fighting there,
yeah.
Not us,
yeah.
You know, if you ask any Ghanaian, every Ghanaian would love to say that they wish Ghana is like South Korea,
yeah,
or Singapore, or Malaysia.
I was shouting out to you, Kofi Nyakun, you are from UK. Thank you for joining us, Kofi Nyakun. Yeah, go ahead,
or Singapore,
yeah,
so beautiful,
yeah.
We all wish that Ghana one day will be like that.
Yeah.
But can we follow the laws, the rules?
Mm.
Can we obey? You know, so that's what I'll end up here.
Yeah. So just summarizing your point. Yeah. You wish like the one MP is knocked down one day. You go to they take you to the hospital. Your family asks what happened.
Yeah.
The money that was supposed to be used for fertilizer. Or to build that road. Or to build that hospital.
Uh-huh.
I pocketed the money and I've been beaten
up. Yeah. You know, that's the truth.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure if Iman will agree with what you say.
No, but I think that's a very...
On a light note.
It's on a light note. It's funny, but interesting. So I think he's right to say that. But you see, the issue in South Africa, I've not followed as well, just as he said. But what I know is, you know, Malema came to power saying that for his party, they stand for workers. Mm. You know, they dressed to parliament in clothes of the lay workers on the street, and they try to represent them.
Mm.
So if you watch their dressing, sometimes they go in the same color,
yeah,
wearing helmets, wearing boots, to show that they are there for people who are poor, people who are on the streets. And so they are fighting against, the president came to give the State of the Nation address.
Somebody saying, please speak louder.
Yes, so just as Akufo-Addo will be doing, today in Ghana, Tuesday in Ghana, he went to deliver the State of the Nation address, and they were not too happy.
Mm.
So they tried to resist him from speaking.
Mm.
I think that led to the fight that we saw. And I think across the world, these things occur. They are parliament, people fight over, they disagree. Of course, it's a place to debate.
Mm.
And we are debating ideas.
Mm.
So if I don't agree with you, we stand up and fight. In terms of what he is saying, I'm not too sure how that can take that can play out in Ghana's parliament, because we have a parliamentary system where they are supposed to check on the executive.
Mm.
And so they don't have direct remit in terms of spending our resources. They don't directly spend them.
Mm.
They have an oversight.
They spend them indirectly.
The spending of Ghana's money comes from the MMDA, the ministries, municipalities, district assemblies, and those authorities are responsible to spend them.
Yeah, so when it comes all the way down, then
what happens is that parliamentarians do oversight responsibility.
Yeah.
But it's, so once they have spent them, they go, if you need budget approval, you go to parliament. Once you have spent, you go back again.
Yeah.
That's why you have the parliamentary accountability committee, where you review what we have spent, and then we know whether people are spending it well or otherwise. So of course, it's for him. I like the part that is calling on citizens to be active.
Mm.
I think that's the part I'm taking from him, which is, let's be active. Let's demand of our politicians what they have promised to deliver to us.
Mm.
And I think that's exactly what Malema and his team is trying to do.
To,
where they are trying to hold politicians accountable to the people who really need these services they claim they need to give them.
Mm.
And so it's interesting. And I really want to follow that guy and see how far he goes.
Mm.
And you see, always I come back to this point, the double standards that play out in our politics.
Mm.
There's so much we say, but little
we do. So that's some people call it NATO, no action, talk only.
Yeah.
but so let's look at our parliamentarian in Ghana politics, for example. Like we talk about there's a need, and even the president of Ghana, Nana Addo, also call for the Ghanaian to be citizens, not spectators.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want people to rise up, and to be able to defend what belongs to us. How can we do this without breaking the law? Because Kwasi is talking about people rising up and actually physically confronting parliamentarians for misbehaving or mismanaging their AFR funds. How can we do it without having to... because Ghana voted for rule of law. Mm-hmm. That's what we've been fighting for. We moved out of those places, those days where anybody can take the law into their own hands and do whatever they want. But we're calling the youth to rise up and to be involved. How can they be involved? Especially with the system that we got. If you go to parliament, you are only... approving the law that comes from the executive. Mm. Whereas New Zealand, individual MPs can sponsor a bill. Mm. But whereas Ghana or in New Zealand, even individuals, like ordinary citizens, can sponsor a bill to go to parliament to be passed for into a law. But in Ghana, we don't have that kind of system. Mm. So you are only there to either approve or to decline an offer that comes from the government. Mm. How can the Ghanaian ordinary citizen get involved in the way the president is calling for? Because it looks like our hands are tied, mm. but he wanted to be involved. How can we get involved in this situation?
You see, there's a classical example. Mm. If you look at the issue of Occupy Ghana, for example, now you see across Africa, when the revolt started, when the uprising, when people stood up against politics, if you look at the case of, I think it started from, where was it? Tunisia. Mm. Then down to Libya,
Egypt, yeah.
And those areas. In Ghana, ours is different. Mm. People are trying to do same, but in a different approach. We have Occupy Ghana.
Yeah.
What they are doing, for example, a classic example is, if you look at currently the Auditor General we have,
yeah.
Ghana has made the law. Always, every year, we go to Parliament where PAC meet. They tell us these people have suspended our money. They've spent 2 billion instead of 2 million.
Yeah.
And they've wasted the money.
Yeah.
What do? We just discover these things and we don't punish people.
Yeah.
Now, within our laws, Occupy Ghana came up and said, this is what we can do.
Mm.
They proposed and went to, I think they have a name that I'm not too sure about, whether courts, whatever they call them.
Mm.
And they drafted the law and sent that law. And that law has been adopted. And as we speak today, the Auditor General in Ghana has a responsibility and has powers to punish people, to surcharge people who misuse our revenue.
Yeah.
So that's a classical example.
Yeah.
And there are several that citizens can do. Mm. There are lots of arguments that came up 2016.
Yeah.
Lots of the court cases. Issues that people took to court, in relation to the elections, for example, where we got the court ruling over these matters.
Mm.
And these are helping to grow our democracy.
Yeah.
We don't expect to be doing everything. Of course, that's why we've elected our leaders.
Yeah.
But there's a critical role we can play, which is getting to know who we are.
Yeah.
Getting to know what our responsibilities are.
Yes.
Many of us talk about leadership but not acknowledging that as citizens you have a responsibility as well.
Yeah, but citizens have responsibilities. We all know that. For a case whereby you...
Because you want to speak a bit louder, so people can hear you,
We come to a lot of cases whereby you know that this is going wrong. This is wrong, absolutely, literally. But you'll be surprised that the person that you are trying to hold in responsibility will be accord with maybe... Inspector General of Police. Meanwhile, he's the one who's supposed to give you backup to say, what you're doing is good, therefore we give you support.
Mm.
But rather, they'll come and support you maybe as a chief.
Yeah.
That you're doing something wrong. So where do I stand?
Mm.
You know, for example, we see a lot of the Garamse areas whereby maybe you see you see other people from other country who will come, then the chief will sell them the land.
Yeah.
And they will go to their own land and maybe they will be threatened with a gun.
Mm.
And when you go to the chief to report, it doesn't work. You go to your own maybe police headquarters, it doesn't work. Where do you stand?
So you take the law into your own hands.
And you cannot take the law onto your own hands.
Yeah. The law is requiring you to report the case.
Something like that happens here in New Zealand. It's Green Party. They have made a party, that Green Party.
Yeah.
Everything which is going on, which is not good, the government has endorsed it.
Yeah.
And it's working.
Yeah.
So I've been in too many scenarios whereby my tutor said, the Greenies are coming.
Yeah.
Because he's very careful about what he's about to do.
Yes.
Not me. But we don't have that. The only thing we have is just the opposition party.
Mm.
And they all come and do the same thing.
Yeah.
So I think what you're saying is only confirming what we are saying. You mentioned Green Party, a very good example.
Yeah.
In this scenario, what you're saying is they are not the government.
Yeah.
It's a political party. So you can say it's an action group.
It's an action group.
Trying to insist on the right things being
to be done.
That's what we are saying. That's active citizenship. You are not waiting for leaders.
Haven't seen that yet.
And that's what we are asking for. And that's what is growing up now. Now, if you look at Ghana now, in energy, for example, we have ASEC. I'm forgetting their full meaning. And these guys are very active, asking critical questions.
Yeah.
Recently, they've done a study, and it came up on my journal. What they have done was they took the annual report of the Ghana Petroleum Commission.
Yeah.
They looked at all the projects they've claimed to have funded.
Yeah.
They went around to see if these projects have indeed been funded, have been executed as they claimed.
Yeah.
They found a school where the people have claimed monies for that school, and there were no structures there.
Mm-hmm.
What they did was they went there, there's no school. And they found that in that community, people are raising money to build their own school. But in the government document,
it's
the
been
school
done.
Has been built.
So
that's what we are looking for. So that's what we are saying, that that's where we want to go to, where leadership is responsible, but citizens are playing a key role in that process.
Well, as long as they are ready to listen and take action. Not just listen or not just talking.
Kwasi has got this thing that you never trust Ghanaian politicians. Kwasi never don't trust politicians in Ghana.
No.
Kwasi got little or no trust for any Ghanaian politician.
It's okay not to trust them, but you see, again, what we are seeing, and there are several people who are putting lots of pressure. And you can see from the start of this government that you realize even if issues about the ex-president's accommodation, it came out from the citizens, people putting pressure on the president. And that's what you want to see, where there's a mass of people coming up and demanding right things to be done. The threat, however, is sometimes people going beyond what they think they know and trying to make some claims that are really unfounded and can't be sustained. And so I think it's early days. I like what I'm seeing. Because if you look at the trend, the social, how do you call these guys? I mean, the civil society group, they are rising up. And most of them are taking responsibility. They are not waiting for government.
Yeah,
they are pushing for right things to be done.
This thing has been there for a long time, and so many people are not waiting for the government. They would like to raise their voice so that the government will hear them. But it's been going on for a long time, and government seems not to do anything about it. Couldn't even hear their voices. As you say, as this regime, maybe. I'm not even 60% sure. Maybe. But we all wish.
Okay, so let's look at some comment on Facebook. Quickly look at some of the comments on Facebook. Kofi Nyako put a quick comment in there. He said, separation of powers, government institution shouldn't be manipulated by the government of the day. They should be left to do their own work without fear or favor. Access to information is also very vital. Looking at what Kofi Nyako just said, it's very important, separation of power, whereby the parliament is not seen as a stooge or an organization just there to help the government do whatever they want, but to put critical questions. Do we have the issue of separation of power, the right of information bill example, all those things that we've been talking about. How effective can we make this? Because if the government want to manipulate it, how effective can we or the people make these things work?
You see, I think yesterday or a day before, the former electoral commissioner, Dr. Afarijan, did a presentation. He said the same thing.
Yeah.
What he said was, people are claiming that we've given so much powers to the executive.
Yeah.
But if you look really at the institutions that are supposed to take responsibility and oversight responsibility of the presidency, are they really exercising their rights? Are they doing what's expected of them?
Yeah.
And you see, the current Speaker of Parliament and his inauguration says something that there are lots Parliament, as of today, can do, which they have not been doing.
Yeah.
And so he's pushing for new ways, and he's pushing for amendment in their ways of doing things so as to push them to do the right thing. Now, a critical example is what I said earlier, the Auditor General.
Yeah.
He just comes to your office, reviews what you have done, writes in this report and says, in this office, Kojo has spent $2,000.
Yeah.
And he has not been mandated to do so. And that ends it. But he has the right by law to prosecute and to make sure that people get punished. You see, it's easier to leave people. And if I realize that my boss took it and he went scot-free, I'll take it and go as well.
You also do the same.
Absolutely.
Right?
That's where we are getting to.
So that means the auditor general goes there, audit them, and he doesn't prosecute them.
That's what it is.
That's what I'm talking about. So therefore, so ordinary person like me go and see something, and we try to rise up, it will not get anywhere.
But that's what I'm saying. That's changing. Now, due to pressure groups, due to the work of Occupy Ghana, there's now a law. The government
has always been there. I don't dispute that.
See, the point was, the parliament was confused in the sense that they said, and the minority, the then minority, the now majority that said that,
when after the PAC has met, they were supposed to constitute a panel, and that was supposed to give them the powers to prosecute. But they didn't know how to go, because there were no clear guidelines on how to do that. But there's a new law which has made it clear that the Auditor General himself can now surcharge you. So if I find out that you have taken this money that you're not supposed to, you are supposed to pay, and you will pay it. Yeah. That's what you want to get to.
And there are even issues like a group like social media groups, pressure groups on social media. And I mean, recently we talked about the issue regarding the vice president building, whereby social media group from the social media actually rose up and then campaigned massively to campaign against some of these things. I mean, issue regarding, and this will probably will link me to the next topic, which is instant justice. There was recently a video, I think there was a discussion on social media. That's where I found it. That was, I think, Biscout, Nana Prempe in Germany. And I think a couple of people, Ideas Man and Kofi Nyako, and many people out there actually did a discussion about these topics on Facebook regarding a driver who knocked down somebody. The person didn't die, wasn't injury, there's no much injury, but these people grabbed this driver and beat him to death. And there's also another issue whereby people, this woman was recently, this woman who has been who went to steal money, I don't know, whatever she stole, but she was the video came out on the social media, and she was abused, beaten, and all the things that were happening. And there were people on social media who rose up and massively campaigned against some of these things. And what happened was that there was an issue from the Ghana police headquarters, actually condemning some of these things and warning the public that these things are against the law, that when you do that the next time, you can be prosecuted. So even people from social media, example, can also put pressure on the government when these things happen, to ensure that the government do the right thing. But bringing this topic to the issue about instant justice, we have heard this over and over again. From when I was in Ghana, I was so kind, I've seen it. If you steal something, you have to pray that the police come there, otherwise you are finished. Yeah. But this issue with instant justice, because you've been in Ghana, you travel around for a lot of time. So what do you say? Why are people not willing to to try the police or the legal system, but want to take the law into their own hands and just try and instantly apply justice to people and to some extent kill other people? I mean, what do you got to say to this, Kwesi?
First of all, I will start from the driver's side. Yeah, with the driver, in fact, it's not something good at all. If a driver get an accident, I think we all should help the driver and maybe pick up this person, put him in a car, maybe rush him to the hospital. I understand that in our system, we don't have the ambulance available most of the time. So normally we do it. I've come across this incident more than maybe 5 times. I help out, take that person to a hospital.
Yeah.
Even the last one that I left Ghana was, I think, 1991. And this person who knocked this person down, that driver was a medical doctor. Mm-hmm. And it was raining. He didn't see him. He knocked him down. And I was just happened to walk on that road. Mm-hmm. And this man has got down crying, "Help me, help me. I've killed somebody." I went and helped out, took him to Okonfonoji. So it got so good, the guy got well. So in this case, we can help the driver. You know, we can't just judge that he has done wrong and we beat him to death. So because of this, so many drivers do hit and run. They will knock you down, run away, because they also have to run for their lives.
Yeah.
Because of this behavior. So if we stop that behavior, most drivers will knock someone down, and he will try at the same time, say, "Let me help out, although I've done the mistake. Let me try. It's an accident.
And do the right thing.
And do the right thing."
Yeah.
But if you chase this driver away, or if this driver runs away, it means you're not helping the person who has been knocked down. Yeah. You're not helping him. Maybe you even end up dying. By the time you get him to another car, get him to the hospital, he's already dead.
Yeah.
So it's not something that recommend.
Ima, what are you going to say? This instant justice, and I think and in saying this, I know Dr. Dominic are watching us on Facebook, and I want to recommend you for what you did. You know, there was a video that was shared on the Ghana Association of Nissan Viber page, whereby this woman was being abused by people, and actually he uses his connection and to be able to pass this video onto some friends in the Ghana Police Service or the CID for something to be done about us. And I really want to congratulate you and thank you very much, Dominic, for what you're doing, because it's that's what we want, that people who have got the access to power to be able to help us, you know, address some of these issues. So Iman, what what have you got to say to
this? So that's, it's a good point. It's a good place to start from. And I think he needs our commendation. And probably if he's free, he probably can call in and help us, because he's a lawyer. Not a lawyer. Most of the things I say are the things I read. So if you look at what instant justice in Ghana, it's sometimes if you look at the data, there are several people who have been killed, who have been lynched, who really were not the perpetrators of whether it was thievery, whether it was robbery, whatever action that existed. And so sometimes people have been killed when they really were not at fault.
Even the suspect,
they were not even, because a friend shared a story where it was raining and he said he came out of the trotro. All of a sudden, the guy just came out and said, "This is the woman who stole my phone." And people started beating her. And the reason they were beating her was that she was holding her bag, and they thought that she had just taken the phone and put that in her bag. And so this woman was beaten and was unconscious. And there are several people who go through such instances. So one is condemnable. We need to condemn it. Now, in our own laws, and the lawyers may correct me, I think they said you are innocent until proven guilty. And so how do we prove someone to be guilty when we have not even given the person the chance to speak? And then we end up beating them. I know sometimes it hurts. You know, if ever you have lost something to a thief, you get to appreciate it. I remember my car, I woke up one day. I was not in Ghana. I was not in Kumasi. I was in Accra. And my wife called me in the morning. Our house has been broken. And they had come to take away my battery, my the car tape and all that. And I was really shocked. And I thank God they didn't go into the main house to attack my family. And so it hurts when you think about these things. And so sometimes emotions may flare up. But with that emotions, that's what mean we should go to the point of such humiliating act. How do you humiliate such a woman in the proportion that it was done? And this woman was stripped naked. And she looked like a grown-up. Probably she could be a mother. She could be anyone at all. Why do we have to do that to her? And how sure are we that she really
stole it?
Because we don't know. I mean, we can't be sure that we did it. Now, the good thing is, and I think that's what we need to do, we always, and it's difficult, you know, our system and setup says that somebody knows somebody. So that person who was involved and has been caught on the tape knows the police officer. He knows the district assembly. He knows the metro. He knows the mayor.
He knows the MP.
He knows somebody somewhere, somehow. And therefore, you take up the issue and they come back and tell you, it's okay, let's go and sort this one. Every day, every kind of fee. And you see, when we continue to do that, we embolden other people
to do the same.
To do the same. Because you see, when you see this, and these days, you see, you think social media, people are capturing it. They capture and they share. And next time somebody steals, and then we perpetuate these things, and the cycle continues. And you see, unfortunately, there are several, some of them who go to prison wrongfully. They are fortunate to come out sometime in their life, and the others who die, and I don't know where they'll go.
Coming back to this, just a quick one, because we talk about why people do what they do, because the point is, when I was in Ghana, my brother had a shop in Abosoka. So I would like to just Rosemary, you joining us, Peter Jabba also joining us. Nice job, guys. When I was in Ghana, I was in Abosoka, sometimes somebody would come and steal a spare part, something in the 8 o'clock in the morning. You arrest the person, sent to the Kaneti police station. 12 o'clock, you see the person walking around again. And also, so because of this, what is happening, people don't have a trust in the police system. People don't, because what happened if you send this person to the police and you see the person walking around 10 minutes time, 20 minutes time, 10 minutes, your life become a threat. You know, so because of some of this, it's as much as we advise the people to avoid behaving that way, don't we also, the people, politicians, leaders in authority, don't they have a responsibility to ensure that the right thing also is being done?
You see, that takes us back to when I talked about our society, the construct, how we have constructed our society. You see, sometimes if you talk to these policemen, it's difficult for them. They really want to insist on the laws. But it's so hard, because people will come back to you and have so many nice ways of getting you to rescind the decision. So, of course, I think it's a double-edged sword. But we hope for a day where the laws may be applied. And the laws will need to be applied.
I'll come in here. If you try to say somebody like robbery, because as you said about Abosoka, I've seen that several occasions. And this person will come and rob somebody. And normally they used to run away to police post in Kajitia,
yeah,
those days.
Mm.
And within about maybe 20 minutes, when the tension's gone down a little bit, you see this guy coming around. He tell you, they're not beating me, are you? What can you do?
Yes.
You know, like you're, this person is not a big man whereby you can put him behind bars.
He's an ordinary person.
Ordinary person. You see what I mean? But he has just managed to pay himself out. And will come and do the same thing again. You know, so it all comes to that we don't have the trust in our government. I can give you a scenario whereby just within 1 year and one family, this brother was attacked in Kumasi.
Yeah.
The son was shot in his legs by the armed robbers.
Yeah.
The nephew was going to Takoradi. He was chased by the armed robbers.
Yeah.
And the last thing was the woman was in the house. She got up in the morning, all her goods and the sheep has been stolen away.
Yeah.
Just one person. So imagine how many people goes through that.
Yeah, yes.
You know,
that's a very good part you are bringing up. And you see, that takes us to what we have been discussing earlier, the role of citizenship.
Yeah.
You know,
we see these institutions in our country as not part of us.
Mm.
For many of us, these things were brought to us. And so we still do not see them as part of our national, whatever we are doing. So you see, if you talk about the police, for example, if you ever talk to them, there are some who work at a district level. At a district level, they come in, they go and talk to the chief.
Yeah.
They talk to the assemblyman.
Yeah.
They talk to key people in the society.
Yeah.
Now you expect these key people to be their friends in society. Our society demands that whatever level you find yourself, you show respect to the powers that be.
Yeah.
And so when you are there, these people have a nice of coming to you to request you to rescind decisions. What I'm saying is, until we begin to see that as people, we have a responsibility to the development of our country, this cycle will continue.
So,
because if you find somebody who has done something wrong, even you today, okay, tomorrow if Dominic goes back to Ghana and becomes a key person at Attorney General, and you have an issue, you phone him.
Yeah.
You call him and ask him to do a favor. For
you.
And that's the thing I'm talking about. Yeah. Our systems have not been allowed
there can be a favor, but not to the extent that somebody has.
Favor
is everywhere. But not to the extent.
What favor are you talking about? Because I've been in, if you work in Ghana, for example, get to a point where there's time for admissions.
Yeah.
People want to go to nursing training.
Yeah,
and you see the number of phone calls you receive.
Yeah.
And you ask these people, you want these people to be fair.
Yeah.
You want them to be transparent. You want them to select the best of candidates.
Yes.
When you and I will keep calling them and asking them for favors, how do we expect things to work when ourselves are complicit in what we are doing?
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm saying. You see, until we as members of the society see that institutions have been created by us to work for us.
And also, I mean, when you look at
we are compromising them.
Yeah, because when you look at human beings, there's so much pressure you can take.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until you just
crack. You should just give up.
Yeah, because the point is, if we know that if my son or my daughter get admission in A, they need to go to A.
Yeah.
But if you say, oh, I don't like A, I want to go to B. But even though they've not got admission to that in that business space.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You try to get your daughter there, mean that somebody's going to mess up. Who qualifies to be there is going to mess up.
Absolutely.
So if but, until but we that, stop some of
but that's what I'm saying, not to extent that somebody deliberate has picked striking you with a knife.
Okay.
You know, at least put him about 6 months behind bars.
So question is, the issue is the law is a law.
The law
is a
law.
A system is a system. No matter who you are, it should work. I mean, when you come to New Zealand, it doesn't matter who you are. I mean, when I
don't say that. Yeah. It does.
Yeah.
I've come across a lot of people whereby they were supposed to be in jail, but because of connection.
But
we need to minimize it.
Yeah.
Minimize. But our one is so huge.
Yeah.
Understand that as long as you got the money to pay,
your
way out.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah, okay, so just a quick one. So, I mean, very soon we're going to go offline. So this is a quick reminder that the Ghana Association of New Zealand, we are inviting all our members and all New Zealand society to be able to join us to celebrate our CTF anniversary. The date is 18th of March 2016. The venue is the Mount Albert War Memorial Hall. The posters are out. We're going to put them on Facebook and you're going to see them. So if you want a copy of the poster, please let us know. We're going to give you a copy. So we're going to bring the posters out and feel free to share them. So just a quick one. I'm going to add to this. You know, so if you don't, those of you who are listening to us on 104.6, once we go offline, you can just join us on our Facebook conversation. So just like for here, you know, we are all empowered to work. So if you go to the hospital example, the nurse knows what they